peace. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Peace. One of the most significant things that any of us ever can be aware of in our life, in our world, in our relationships, is peace. Jesus spoke of the peace that passeth all understanding. And what is the difference between peace and war? War is conflict. Peace is relaxation. Peace is gentleness. Peace is peace. Can't define a word with itself, but peace does define itself. Psychiatrists and psychologists, ministers, philosophers, human beings of every type, teach peace. They recommend peace. They share peace. They say that peace is one of the greatest things in the world. When people can be at peace, all things are harmonious. There's a recent publication of a republication of a republication of a republication of a book, and it's called the Bates Eye Program. And what Mr. Bates, or Dr. Bates, did, he's an ophthalmologist and studied in the field for 30 years working with people and checking their eyes and working with them on improving their eyesight. He points out that there's nothing wrong with anyone's eyes. Oh, you can have a condition that comes from an organic condition, but there's nothing wrong with anyone's eyes. Everyone's eyes are exactly perfect. Everyone's eyes know exactly how to do what they're designed to do. And what the eyes were designed to do historically was quite different from what we are having them do today. And Benjamin Franklin, with his glasses, was not the first to have glasses, of course, but he was a very busy man, working with his writings and his newspaper and his magazines and his various things, and he was constantly reading. Many other great people read. Julius Caesar used a crystal to look at the sports games that were going on in front of him because he could not see them without it. And he had this crystal there that sort of refracted the light so he could see through it and see the game. And but if Mr. Bates had been Julius Caesar's ophthalmologist, he would not have had to do that. Because Bates has worked with he's worked with patients who had all manner of eye malady. And he describes the eye as a perfectly functioning instrument, which is divinely, not, he doesn't say divinely, which is perfectly designed to do what it's supposed to do, and that is to see. And we have taken our eyes and caused them to focus on different points. And in our focusing on different points, we cause our eyes to experience the condition that is the first cause of death in the world, and that's tension. We cause our eyes to have tension. And he points out that if you can train your eyes to relax, train your eyes to be at peace, your eyes will see perfectly. Now, he did research with his instruments that he has, and he looked into the eyes of these different people, and he spoke to them, and he told them that they should tell a lie. And when they told a lie, like for instance, the young man was 25 years old, and he told the young man, say that you're 26 years old. Now, that's no big deal, you know. And the young man said, I'm 26 years old. And immediately, the refractions started bouncing around in his eye, which made it not see clearly, and which made him have tension. Not made him have tension, that was the tension that he got, but he created that tension. And it would probably be a perfect lie detector because the minute the refractions are bouncing around, but it could be moral lying too, where do you think that's the right thing to do? And you would say yes, and someone else would say no. And if someone else who said no was asked to say yes, they would have all refracturing. And if you, who said no, and it was yes, or you said yes and it was no, you said yes and you were asked to say no, you too would have all this refraction flying around. So it's not a matter of really truth. It's a matter of what is your observation of it? What is your belief? Are you going against what you think is right or wrong? And not that it is or is not right or wrong. So the stress is something that we cannot just say carte blanche that it is one way or the other. And the reason we cannot do that is because there is no absolute yes or no. There is no absolute truth. And because what is truth? For instance, I tell you I'm 25 years old. And you say, oh, come on now. I say, no. I think and act and feel and live my life like a 25-year-old. I'm doing everything from a 25-year-old point of view. And it's with perhaps the stupidity and the wisdom of a 25-year-old, but I'm doing that. And I feel that. I know that. That's me. That is what I have trained myself to be aware of and to believe in, and that's what I'm living as. And to me, it is not a lie. Now, if I say to my people who come to the University of Healing, you're whole and perfect, and they say, look at my broken leg, you know, I'm whole and perfect. Yeah, you say I'm whole and perfect, but don't you see I have a broken leg? Don't you see that? Don't you? That's a lie. That's a lie. No, no. If you say I'm whole and perfect, your leg will be healed in no time. If you say I got a broken leg, it's going to take 6 weeks for it to heal, and it's going to maybe have some complications setting in and other things, well, then that's what you're going to create. Now, those complications in that length of time are not currently evident in your condition. It's only evident in your condition that you broke a leg, and you're having it mended now, and it's healing. Now, do you want that broken leg to take a long period of time to heal, or do you want that broken leg to be done instantly? Do you want that broken leg to be done mentally? Can you say of yourself, I'm whole and perfect? Can you say that, even with the evidence that's facing you? Now, we have a young man who went to the hospital, and he went to the hospital because he had a condition in his body that was saying to him he needed to have a doctor look at him. Now, if this person could say, I'm whole and perfect, and go and let the doctor look at him, but I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, well, in the first place, he'd never have to go to the doctor. But if he went to the doctor would find him whole and perfect. Now, could he lie to himself like that, contrary to the appearance? Contrary to the appearance. Now, if you say to me, Herb, I have a temporary broken leg. It's an appearance that I have here, and I'd like you to treat with me that it's whole and perfect. I say, sure thing. Here we go. Your leg is whole and perfect. Your leg is whole and perfect. Your leg is whole and perfect. Just say that and know that and let it be. Let that be what you... Don't say, my leg is broken, my leg is broken, my leg is broken, because that's what you're going to be experiencing. And so, that is how you train yourself to not necessarily lie, but you train yourself to look beyond the appearance. Now, a person who has bad eyes and goes to see Dr. Bates, what does he say to them? He says, well, let's take a look. Let's see if your eyes are as bad as you say they are. And so he looks into their eyes with his stereoscope, whatever the gadget is that he has, rhinoscope. And as he looks there, he sees all sorts of actions taking on because the person, I got bad eyes, I'm sorry for myself. And then he says to them, relax, peace. He doesn't give them a shot, but he could. Peace. And every time the doctor says peace to him, the reflections that are flashing back and forth in his eyes become less and less and less. And pretty soon, there are none at all. Now, that doesn't mean that he can see. That just means that the cause of his not seeing is no longer there. Now, the doctor says to him, I want you just gently to say, I'm relaxed, I am peace. I'm relaxed, I'm peace. Now, I want you to look at this blank wall and think nothing. And so he looks at the blank wall and thinks nothing. It's not too hard to do. Then he says, okay, now, you see that letter flashing over there? Oh, oh! Right away he gets reactions in his eyes because he doesn't want to see that letter. So then the doctor says, peace, peace, peace. And he becomes more relaxed. I mean, this doctor is working on this as a clinical experiment as well as an actual case in which a person needs some help. And so then he says, all right, now look at the white wall. Now look over here, and what do you see over there? Oh, there's a light. Yeah, the doctor is fooling him. Okay, now what do you see? Well, I see a light. Now, just look at the light and enjoy it and tell me what you see. Well, little by little, I'm seeing the center of the light. And he says, okay, now what else are you seeing? Well, I know the outer edges of the light are there, but I'm seeing only the center. That's where my concentration is. Your concentration? Or is that where you see? Well, that's what I see. And as the person does that, little by little, the doctor says to him, well, it looks like you have perfect vision. It looks like you have perfect eyesight, but I can't read at night. It looks like you have perfect vision, you have perfect eyesight, seeing the center of that light, and then flashing over to another, and then the outer edges of the light you don't see. You just see the circle, the spot in the center. And he works with them. And then he says, now relax. You're not proving anything to anybody, to yourself or anybody else. Just relax. Now, what do you see? Oh, I see a patch of writing. Well, now, just look right at the center of it. You don't have to do anything. Just look at the center. So, he looks at the center of the writing, and lo and behold, he's reading the writing. He's reading the writing because he's relaxed, because he's not causing the muscles to pull on the side or pull at the top or pull from the back or anything. He's not causing a confusion to go on there. He's just causing himself to relax. And within one session of half an hour, the doctor has completely redirected this man's thinking and his attitude, so that whenever he reads anything now, he's going to relax first and then read. And as he does this, every time he does it, he will be reading better and better and better. And they have the illustration of 4.5 point type. You know what 4.5 point type is?
Tiny, tiny.
Very tiny. And this is what I showed you too. And when you look at that, you look at the larger type first, and then your eye just sort of floats down to this tiny type, and you can read the whole thing perfectly. And as you read the whole thing perfectly, you read it for one reason. Because you're relaxed. You're not proving anything to anybody. You're not trying to do it. He pointed out how some children, when their parents are present, they can read well. And the minute their parents walk out of the room, they can't read a thing. And they really can't. They really can't, because they have caused the confusion in their body and in their mind to make these muscles cause these refractions going on in the eye cavity itself, so that they cannot see. And many times teachers say, "That's not true, you're doing that, you're just doing foolishness." And of course, when the teacher does that, that frightens the child even more and makes them think, you know, even worse about themselves. Now, what is the key to Mr. Bates' program? And the key is peace, relaxation. Now, what is the key to anything in life? What's the key to having... Now, let's just take our eyes and say our eyes are a beautiful instrument. Okay. Now, what about our hearing, our touch? What about our eating, our activities? What about the organs in our body? Each organ is divinely designed and divinely patterned to live eternally. It has no life expectancy to it. It lives eternally. Now, why isn't it expressing eternally? It's not expressing eternally because of one simple thing. And the one simple thing is that we allow ourselves to be irritated, confused, and have tension in ourselves over what's going on in the outer world. If we were to take the time every day and just quietly close our eyes and meditate. Now, Dr. Bates suggests that we palm our eyes by putting our hand, the ball of our hand over our eyes gently, not forcing them, with the fingers crossing above. And this sort of cuts out all the light. And then we take a deep breath and we relax, and we relax, and we relax. And pretty soon, we're all perfect. Pretty soon, we're all in balance again. Pretty soon we have the feeling that all is working out just so perfectly and so beautifully. Now, as we practice this sort of thing every day, our eyesight will improve immeasurably. And it'll improve immeasurably because we are not making our eyes any different. We are merely taking away the distraction, the tension that we are putting on our eyes, to make our eyes feel upset and unhappy. And that's what we want to do. We want to do that so that we are not bothered by that. So we're not bothered by the tension or the irritation. So that we are living in perfect light. Now, how can we live in perfect light? In perfect peace. A great book was written years ago, Peace That Passeth... Peace of Mind is what it's called. And in that book, this author was a great psychologist, and he wrote about how when we take time to be at peace, every organ action function of our body functions in peace. When we take time to just let go of all the world's conflicts that seem to bother us, then everything works good in our body, because our body is divinely designed to work eternally, immortally. There's no reason for it to wear out. There's no reason for it to ever have any problems. And the only problems are problems that we give it by our irritation, by our frustration, by our anxiety. And when we can be peaceful, the anxiety, frustration, and irritation all disappear in their native nothingness, and we are back in the mode of peace. Now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. How did that happen? It happened in me, I am peaceful. So if in me I am peaceful, I look outward and I see the world is peaceful. And in the process, I am using unconditional love, because I love me and I love everything I create unconditionally. Not, I love you because I created you, or I love you because you're my child, you're my shoes, you're my hat, you know, you're my computer. I love you because you're mine, you know. And if we ever get in that frustration, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. One time we had a few people we were befriending, and they befriended themselves to our computers and took all of our computers that we had on campus. And it was quite a blow, because these were some of the first computers that had come on the market, and they were still functional and doing a good job. They were all that we knew, and we told ourselves that we did not choose to spend money on a new computer. Well, this young man and his friend took them all away, and probably gave them away for nothing, you know, if he kept on to them at all. And we had to go out and buy some new ones. And so for the first time, we had modern computers, which were not like our original ones were. They were the first of the lot in the production of computers in the computer business. But these were upgraded quite considerably, and we were very happy with them. And now, even though our computers work so beautifully and everything, every once in a while we refresh them and pick up some new ones. And then we keep the old ones around, and our friends come and sit at the old ones and do magical things at the old ones that we forgot that we had done there too, and that can still be done. But you see, you have to sometimes let go before the new can come. And so when we let go of the tensions and the anxiety and the thought that we have poor eyesight, then our eyes will say, oh, if we don't have poor eyesight, what can we do? Well, we have good eyesight, beautiful, pure eyesight. And then we start thinking that way, and we start living that way, and pretty soon everything works out just fine. Just as when you learn to play the piano, you practice, and as you practice, people say, boy, I wish he wouldn't learn to play the piano. He sounds terrible. Well, his mother understands. And then, little by little, you improve. And if I were to say to you, when you started practicing, you shall be a genius and you shall be a Van Cliburn, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And given 5 or 10 years, there you are. Not only a Van Cliburn, but a Mozart, you know. A magical person, Beethoven, Bach, you know, all of these characters all wrapped up into one. But you couldn't see it at the time because you were still seeing your problem. And the minute you let the problem go, then the magic that is you, the magic that is me, is revealed, and our lives are completely changed. And how wonderful that is. We'll be talking more about the peace that brings about such grand and glorious results. But for now, let's just palm our eyes and think to ourselves, I am peace. 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 And we have taken off all the outer lights, all the outer distractions, and I am peace. And I am peace. And I am peace. And as we do that, we open the inward door for the peace that passeth all understanding to to be ours totally here and now. Enjoy and remember, I love you eternally.